The year was 1956. A young wife was great with child, was standing at her ironing board, eyeing her husband's work shirts, watching her favorite soap opera, As the World Turns. A TV commercial came on advertising Kimberly Clark toilet paper. Kimberly, what a beautiful name, she thought. If this child is a girl, I will name her Kimberly. That young woman was my mother, and that unborn child was me. And I share this to help you remember that your new pastor was named after toilet paper. But I have this feeling about 3 weeks from now, someone's going to say, Pastor Charmin. But it's Kimberly. It's Kimberly. Seriously, my name is Kim, and I am a Christian today because someone just like you loved me to Jesus Christ. My life has never been the same. It will never be the same. And I want the world to know this Jesus. Like you, I am experiencing the loss and sadness of leaving my former parish. Pastor Larry left 6 months ago, and I can tell that you still miss him. He's called me twice asking if I need any help, and I said, not yet, but I'll call you when I do, because I'm sure I have 1,000 questions. And I've asked the Lord, how can I love another church? I've loved everywhere I've been, to be honest. But I did love this little older congregation, didn't I? But my husband retired and didn't want to live separately. So this is why I'm here. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need you to speak to my spirit. I need you to speak to my spirit. And these words came to me, and I know it had to be from God because I would never think of this. But these are the words that Jesus shared when he was on the cross. One of the things he shared. He said here, he stood near his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said, Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. And I felt the Lord was whispering to my heart, saying, Woman, behold your parish. And I pray that he whispers to your heart and says, Parish, behold your pastor. That is my prayer. That is my prayer. Last Sunday was Frank's last Sunday in 42 years of pastoral ministry. We celebrated as a family with him in his church. And the week before that, I did preach my last message to Emory Chapel. I shared a song with them. I did not sing it. That was my agape to them. And if I could have learned sign language in time, they would have got that. But here's the words of it. Phillips, Craig, and Dean, I feel quite sure if I did my best, I could maybe impress you with tender words and a harmony, a clever rhyme or two. But if all I've done in the time we've shared is turned your eyes on me, then I've failed at what I've been called to do. There's someone else I want you to see. Will you love Jesus more when we go our separate ways? When this moment is a memory, will you remember his face? Will you look back and realize you sensed his love more than you ever did before? I pray for nothing than for you to love Jesus more. I'd like to keep these memories in frames of gold and silver and reminisce a year from now about the smiles that we've shared. But above all else, I hope you will come to know the Father's love. When you see the Lord face to face, you'll hear him say, well done. Will you love Jesus more when we go our separate ways? That is the prayer of my heart. I've been praying about a sermon this morning, and I've been praying about sermons for the summer, and I tell you what, I really wish God would have said, you know that sermon series you did 2 years ago? Let's do that one. And he didn't. He's given me a new one, so that means I've got to study, and I'm unpacking. We're buried in boxes. We don't have a bathtub or a shower or a washer and dryer. So we're camping. We're camping in Bath, Indiana. But he did lay on my heart. I've preached long enough to know that when the Lord nudges you, you might as well just give in, because he's not going to let you go. So I've learned the hard way many times. I've crashed and burned dozens of times. Melody, listen. Don't wrestle, don't argue, just say yes. That's the way it goes. So that what God laid on my heart was to speak about first impressions and lasting impressions. Both are important, but I'm wondering if one might be more important than the other. When I say first impressions, what comes to your mind? First impression, just what comes to your mind? What? A visual, a face, okay. Job interview, you got it. Okay. What about meeting for your potential future mother or father-in-law? Whew. Yeah, yeah. The Board of Ordained Ministry. I tell you, the Board of Ordained Ministry. Anyone else have any other answers? First impression, what comes to your mind?
Attitude.
Attitude, awesome. An attitude of gratitude, awesome, awesome. The word impression is actually not in the Holy Scriptures, but the word impress is. I'm going to read to you this morning from Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. These are the command, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that all will go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God and your ancestors promises you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I remember as a brand new Christian at Circleville Bible College, it's now Ohio Christian University, everybody there knew the scriptures. Everybody knew them. They knew them. They'd been raised in them. They knew them. I entered Circleville Bible College literally, biblically illiterate. Literally, biblically illiterate. And when I read Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, for the first time, I felt so sad because I didn't experience that growing up. I had a great family, but I didn't experience that. And it's almost as if the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Kimmy Jo, I'm going to wake you up each morning, and I'm going to walk with you through your day, and I'm going to teach you. And I'm going to be the one who tucks you in each night. And for 43 years, he has done that, and I've been so thankful. I still don't know as much as my husband, obviously, but I'm catching up. Okay. And I thought about how the Lord wakes you up. He wakes you up each morning, and he walks with you through your days, and he wants to teach you things that you would have never learned unless you're not paying attention. So pay attention. I absolutely love when God teaches me something. I just love it. I just love it. First impressions are important. Lasting impressions, perhaps even more so. Lasting impressions is that which lives on long after our lives are over. Lasting impressions are those which lives on way beyond the days of our life. This morning, we're going to jump into God's Word. We're picking up 6,000 years, or estimated 6,000 years, if my math is correct, after creation. God created all that is. God created the first two humans, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve fell to sin. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Years later, God would bless them with a son to replace Abel that they named Seth. Seth had a son named Enoch, and the scriptures say, at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Enoch would also become a father, and it is recorded that Enoch walked with God 300 years. I think what this scripture says to me is there's just something about becoming a parent that really draws you to the Lord. If you never thought you needed the Lord before, when you become a parent, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. I wanted to just share with you where Noah got his name. He was not named after toilet paper. And it says here, when Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah and said, he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground that God has cursed. I want to remind you that we are only in the sixth chapter of the Holy Bible. And yet from creation to where we're at right now, 6,000 years have passed. So I don't want you to think that God went from creation to the flood like that. It wasn't. God was very patient. God was very long-suffering. But God is God, and God does what he does. I've asked Debbie to help me to read this morning some scriptures. When I gave the scriptures to Emily, our secretary, she said, do you know that's a lot of scripture? So I counted, it was 90 verses. I said, well, we're going to edit that down. So I've asked Debbie to read twice today, so she's going to read at this time, and then I'll read, and then she'll read. Okay, God bless you, Debbie.
I'm going to read Genesis 6, 3, and 5 through 7. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil at all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them.
Being God Almighty, creator of all that is, and feeling so distraught, you want to destroy everything you ever made? Whew. Reading on in Genesis 6, 8 through 7, verse 4. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Oh, wait, Debbie, I'm reading your stuff. Sorry. Sorry. I just had that in case you lost yours. That's why I had it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Okay. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You're to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God had commanded him. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of unclean animal, male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made."
For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose, covered the mountains to a depth more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Everything on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals, the creatures that moved along the ground, and birds that were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days.
When I went to Circleville Bible College, I didn't know very much about this story. And I got so excited. I was teaching 5-year-old Sunday school at the time, and I said, "Do you know how big the ark was?" And we went across the field and we showed them this big soccer field, and I said, "It's bigger than this." It was bigger. I was so excited to teach them that. They didn't act very excited, but I was excited. I was excited. I wanted to teach them everything I was learning each day as a new Christian. But Noah, when the Bible says, but, we need to pay attention. God is getting ready to do a new thing. When he says, but, Karen, you better pay attention. You better pay attention. Don't look back. Look up. Look forward. Take heart. Remember who you are and whose you are. God is doing a new thing. I love this. I absolutely love this. I told this to Frank on the way. Okay, this is what the scripture says. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. When I read that, and I've read this a zillion times, but it never jumped out at me like this, there's a book written eons ago by Bishop Reuben Jobe, correct? Bishop Reuben Jobe's, and it was called 3 Simple Words. And the 3 simple rules, and the thing was, do good, do no harm, and stay in love with God. And when I read this, I thought, oh my goodness, Noah was a righteous man. Do good. Blameless among the people of his day, do no harm. And he walked with God. Stay in love with God. Just like, there's a 3-point sermon there, Frank. I have to try that one of these days. I wanted to share this because I thought it was so great, so great. But God remembered Noah. When Noah left the ark, the very first thing he did was he knelt down and he built an altar. When you and I go through storms and we survive floods, what is the first thing that we do? In Genesis 9, 8 through 17, we hear, "Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those who came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant I am making between you and me and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of that covenant between me and earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all the life on earth. I thought it was serendipitous that it was raining, literally pouring this morning, and we're getting ready to talk about the ark. And I looked up at your ceiling. I thought, that looks like an upside down ark, kind of, sort of. That's what I thought. But have you ever, in your excitement after a storm, ran outside to see if the rainbow was there? And you don't stop looking until you find it. Sometimes you know it's there, but you turn around, you just can't see it. And I love looking for that and finding it. Wow, talk about a lasting impression. A God who grieves even making men and then promising to never destroy the world again by flood. A God of grace, a God of second chances, a rainbow in the cloud to remind us of his promise. Noah makes a great first impression. You know, great first impression. Righteous, blameless, walked with God. God's covenant with him and all of humanity come would have a lasting impression on all of human history. This summer, you and I are going to camp out with some Bible characters. We're going to camp out with real people, with a real God in real life. We're going to do that. We're going to camp. So bring your s'mores. I like s'mores. We will be surprised that not all the people God chooses makes good first impressions. In fact, quite the contrary. But it is amazing how in and through them, God still makes lasting impression. God chooses who he will use. I have to be honest with you, and I'm going to be honest with you. I wrestle with this text. I wrestle with it. I do. I wrestle with it. I don't know if it's because I'm a woman or I'm a wimp. I don't know. But a God who would be so angry, he would destroy everything. I struggle with Noah the most. And I'm thinking, Noah, why didn't you say, God, can't we put more people on the ark? Why can't we bring more people on the ark? Couldn't God build an ark big enough to save everybody? I struggle with this. I do. Even the Titanic did not have enough lifeboats to save everyone. But the good news is, the wooden cross of Jesus Christ did and still does that. There is room for all who believe to be saved. I love that. I love that. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts have been acceptable in your sight. Lord, I pray that something came forth from your word or from my reflections that you can use as seeds for people's journey in you. I pray for that. Lord, I pray that you would build and create in us new temples and new hearts, that you would coat us inside and out, not with pitch, but with your precious blood that keeps your goodness in us and keeps evil and violence on the outside. Lord, pitch us inside and out with your precious blood. Amen. Amen.